This is the Great Alaska Hunting Podcast. I'm Dalton Gray.
And I'm Ryan Humphreys.
Broadcasting from our hometown of Fairbanks, Alaska. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Great Alaska Hunting Podcast, everybody. I'm Mariah Humphreys. There is no Dalton here today. He's still in the field guiding, not much updates from him. Not a lot of great weather, I guess. But other than that, we'll hear from him when he gets back. He won't be on the next episode, I don't think, unless he's able to call in. But he will be on the one after that. I've got some updates on things I've been doing, things I've been working on, and a little bit of a gear review. A little bit of state news that potentially could affect hunters that we're going to cover today. This won't be a super long episode or anything like that, but I did want to get one out so the show continues on schedule. So I've been working on, we talked about this a little bit. I put a video out from my rescuing my Wheeler, which I've talked about on the podcast last fall, when it was broken down back in about a mile from the truck, and I hiked in with the parts to fix it and drove it out. And I had filmed that as my first attempt at filming anything, and it went very well. And I finally got around to editing it this past March, and I got it uploaded. And it kind of blew up. It blew up. I hit 40,000 views in a relatively short period of time. So you know, for our small YouTube channel, is very, very good, and it encouraged me, made me think I knew what I was doing and I had something figured out. So I continued to buy cameras. I don't have any big fancy cameras or anything like that. Everything I have is some sort of small pocket vlogging or action camera. You know, everything's under $1,000. I've gotten used to using them, gotten better at editing, and trying to make content that is engaging and entertaining. And, you know, maybe a little bit informative, but just kind of shooting for that enjoyable, entertaining outdoor content that I like to watch, just trying to make what I want to see. And so I've got a few videos out on the channel. I did one. I rode into the White Mountains on my snow machine, kind of looking for caribou, but also it was just kind of an opportunity to get out and camped. It dropped down to about 10 or 20 below at night that night, and camped in that, set up an ice shack, actually like a pop-up ice shelter, to camp then, and made a video out of that. And then I did a little kind of weekend vlog thing where I did some shooting and did some work around the house, some of the stuff I deal with on my property, just to kind of put a feeler out. I don't know if I'll do any more of those potentially, as if it's a weekend, depending on what I'm doing, I will. And then this past weekend or two ago, I got out. My wife was out of town with the kids, so I just took the dog and my Wheeler and some new gear that I bought and went out and did a quick little camping trip. Cooked a steak over the fire, camped by the Chena River, not too far from my house, but rode back on some trails and got back into the woods and kind of away from civilization. It's pretty easy to do that where I live, and I'm grateful for that. But anyway, I've been working on that, and I've got more coming up. My family and I, me, my wife, and my three kids, who are 7 months, 3 years old, and 9 years old, are going to be going on a... 2 day or 3 day, 2 night backpacking camping trip. We're going to take Granite Taurus Trail this weekend. Hopefully we're on our way out if everything went well, the day that this drops. I've got enough gear. Finally, my wife and I talked about this years ago when we first got married, potentially doing something like this. And I didn't ever think, I said, I don't know if that'd be possible. The amount of gear that it would take to do a family backpacking trip with little kids and stuff like that, but I've got the gear and the capability, and she really wants to do it, and she's been practicing hiking that I wouldn't be able to do it without her being willing to do the work she has to do. She's been hiking a lot in the last several weeks to practice, to get ready, She's been carrying both the 3-year-old and the 7-month-old, one on the front, one on the back, you know, combined probably with a little bit of pack weight and a little bit of stuff that she can fit with the 3-year-old in the back, probably a good 60 pounds, which is very impressive. And she's been working hard and doing that. And so, and of course I'll have a very heavy pack that's going to be probably 80 pounds plus carrying, you know, 2 tents and 3 sleeping bags and sleeping pads and food and everything else for just about everybody. My 9-year-old will be able to carry most of her own gear, hit a little bit of the 3-year-old's gear. So it's going to be a fun trip. Also, my sister, Tabitha, Dalton's wife, will be coming along, and my little brother, Josiah. And I'm going to film that trip if everything goes according to plan. And my gear review that I decided to do for this episode involves this First Light. Well, it's not First Light. It's from FHF chest rig right here. And it's not a Bino chest rig. This is a little video section for those of you that are listening. You can find this on YouTube. We're at the 6-minute mark here. This is something that I've been using for several years now. I think I've talked about it a little bit, but I've been using this for several years now, bear baiting, because I can put my snacks, camera gear, SD cards, SD card reader and stuff for checking my bear cameras at the bear bait, and as well as other things that I like to have while I'm accessible to me while I'm sitting in the stand, so I don't have to reach around and get it out of a backpack that's hanging on the tree next to me or something like that. It keeps everything close and accessible. An extra pair of gloves, headlight, knife, whatever it is. So I've kind of repurposed this. I had it sitting on my desk at home while I was packing, trying to figure out how I was going to carry my camera gear for this hike. It turns out this thing works really, really well for that. So I've got it kind of set up for that, because I obviously, it being a just a family backpacking trip kind of right here at the beginning of what turns out to be the beginning of baiting season this year. I don't have a rifle. I'll carry a sidearm, but I don't have a rifle. I don't have a spotting scope. I won't have binoculars. I'll be 20 pounds probably lighter in gear that I would normally be carrying just for hunting, if not less than that. Which is part of what makes it possible to carry enough gear for the whole family. But, repurposing this pack or this chest rig, obviously I've got the ammo loops on there. I'll probably just leave those. Don't have anything in them. I don't know if I have anything to stuff in that little pouch right there. But this is a rangefinder pouch, but inside that I've got my my little regular style action camera from DJI. That is the, if you're curious, that's a DJI Osmo Action 6. I've been pretty happy with it. When it comes to an actual action camera, I think at the moment it's the best you can buy, although here in about a week, GoPro's dropping their new Mission 1 series, which seems like it's going to blow this one out of the water, and I'll probably end up getting one of those. It's got a big sensor, so if you know what that means, you know the value. But I've got this, and it's an adjustable filter on the front to help set lighting and make things look a little better. In here, got my microphone kit, and this is a battery kit and charger, so that I can keep the extra batteries for the action camera in there. Plug it in, charge them all at once at the end of the day if I need to. All that thing has great battery life. I don't know that I'll burn all those up. Maybe I will. This is another battery kit, and I can carry extra SD cards on it right there. That's pretty sweet. And those batteries are for my 360 camera right here, which is a pretty awesome deal. You get a 360 degree shot. You don't have to worry about which direction it's pointing. Just turn it on and talk to it or walk or get whatever shot you're getting. So I'll be using both of those cameras for that this hike. Microphones in here, you've probably seen these. You've definitely seen these in some of the videos and even in some of the podcasts that we've done. This is a battery case, like a big earbud case. So you can use the mic battery up and it'll charge the mics back up when you pop them in there. I've got some selfie sticks in here to hold the cameras and my InReach right here. That's the Garmin GPS Map 67i So far, it's my favorite that I have. And now, of course, Garmin comes out with some new stuff that looks pretty awesome that I haven't got my hands on yet. But at some point, I definitely will. You know, big touch screens, take pictures, send pictures over satellite, which is pretty awesome. Anyhow, this chest rig, the airframe harness here from FHF is really nice and comfortable. The buckles, the way it's all set up, the whole thing, it's obviously, there's way more accessories you can get for this. At one point, I carried, they have these loops on here, so you can get a Razco adapter that you can put a clamshell style Kydex holster on for just about any gun, and you can carry a gun below it. I don't really like that myself. I've tried it, and it's too heavy. But I do like the fact that I can put these pouches on the sides. I got a sleeve. I can stick my phone in the back here. You can put a million, all kinds of stuff on this if you want to, if it doesn't get in your way. Anyhow, so that'll make the filming thing easy. I'll have my cameras at hand, and I'll have a little bit more camera gear with me, a little tripod that collapses down and can sit flat, and that I can mount, use a selfie stick to mount to it to get height and all that. But anyhow, that I'll be carrying my the Initial Ascent 8K pack with the lid and the cub for all the gear. It's going to be full. It already pretty much is. I've got it packed at home, sitting there, making sure I've got everything I need for everybody. So that's the gear review section for this episode. Like I said, it won't be a very long episode. One of the news items I wanted to talk about today is there is a land acquisition for the state of Alaska. That's supposed to be happening, and basically the paperwork's been signed. They're just kind of, I don't know. I don't know the whole process exactly that's going to happen, but when Alaska became a state, they were eligible to select land to become state land from the state that they want from the federal government, because the federal government has owned Alaska, for a lot longer than Alaska has been a state. We purchased the territory from the Russians. William Seward oversaw that, right? And with that selection, like the state of Alaska has had selections on state they wanted to acquire from BLM for a long time, and some of that has been in the DHCMA, which is the Dalton Highway Corridor Management Area, and it's not, I don't know if it's all in that, but it's along the Dalton Highway from parts of the Brooks Range on down the south quite a ways on both sides of the road that they want to add to what the state already owns, and a lot of the reason they want it is to allow more mining permitting and leasing and things like that, and it'll bring in a lot of income for the state that way. And it's 1.4 million acres from federal BLM to Alaska state ownership. As long as all that goes through the way it's supposed to, a lot of it has to do with some revocation of some public land orders from this administration, that the orders had been put in to stop the state from being able to select that land. So the state basically sat on that until it became available again. When it comes to hunting, there's no intentional immediate effect on that land, because it's Dalton Highway Corridor Management Area, right? You can kill a caribou with a bow within 5 miles of the road, or if you hike farther than that off the road, you can shoot one with a rifle, depending on exactly where you're at in that area. However, there are some areas along the western side of the highway of that land acquisition that I believe, and I don't know all of this for sure, but I believe we will probably see, because when the state land transfers to becoming, when the BLM land transfers to becoming Alaska owned, there is a federal subsistence regulations no longer apply on that land, and so therefore the state can set basically its own management on it without having to do whatever the federal government had before. So there should be some chunks of land potentially opening along the highway there to sheep hunting that have been closed to federal subsistence regulations for quite some time now, along that western side, potentially. I don't know that for sure. but it seems that that would possibly be the case. And so that would be good news. It's not a lot. It would probably just be within the 5 mile corridor. But it would be a cool thing to see happen. The other thing that's happening is the Mulchatna caribou herd, the intensive predator management, which involves killing bears out of helicopters along the breeding, or not the breeding, the birthing and calving area of the Mulchatna caribou herd. And they've been doing this for several years now. And every year, it seems like some judge or environmentalist group sues to block them from doing it, and a judge will say, you can't do it, and whatever law and reason the judge cites, the state of Alaska finds it a way around it, does it under another law or something like that. Well, this year, we actually had a Superior Court judge say that they could go ahead with it this year. So, in my mind, that's good news. I think in a situation like this, I, of course, would prefer that residents had the opportunity to get out and do the hunting, but the truth of the matter is nobody has the kind of money to get out there and do it. I believe, you know, a resident can shoot two grizzly bears out there, but it doesn't do any good when it costs so much money to get out there. Nobody's actually hunting them because of what it costs when there's easier access in other places. Really, they would have to open it to, you know, predator control for residents, which I think would be a great idea as well. But even then, the amount of money and cost of flying and everything else makes that almost impossible. Nobody would really want to do that. Anyhow, so there's not really another option unless we commercialized hunting from helicopters and paid companies to do that, and to maybe, you know, let companies pay or let companies let people pay to get to shoot a bear out of a helicopter, which this was very controversial. I'm sure somebody's not going to like it, but I would be all for that in these kind of management scenarios where we don't have another good way of managing the predator populations beside from, you know, the best way, quickest way, cheapest way is to shoot them out of a helicopter. And we do the same thing with wolves from time to time. And, I'm sure some people will hate that, but I'm all for it. I'm all for, you know, some of the stuff with this land acquisition from the state will open up the possibilities for Ambler Road to go in. I don't know if it opens it fully with the, from state decision, but it helps. It will help with that choice, and I'm all for that. That could potentially open up a hunter access into that area, if depending on what the rules on that road are, which I'm sure at the beginning will be completely restricted, but over time will open up, especially if the state is the one that builds the road. We'd have Dalton here to counter my arguments or to have a devil's advocate or something like that. But it's just me. So that's what you get. I'm not going to get political in the national politics on here. But when it comes to the state politics, it's kind of the way I feel. I don't know. I heard. I won't say anything about that. But when it comes to development, I'm all for it. I want to keep some wild places wild, but I'm also very much for just expanding the resources that we have in this state for national security and for state prosperity. We got a lot of land that's still wide open to hunt that nobody really accesses because of restrictions. It costs a lot of money to fly. And anyhow, I don't have a lot else. This show has been very short so far. I don't think I have anything else on my list here. I don't have a lot more to talk about. If you have YouTube ideas, things we've talked about that we've done, chances are I will try to film everything that I do. I really enjoy the filming. I enjoy the editing. If you want to know more about specific pieces of gear, things like that, you can ask, obviously. Make sure to check out the YouTube channel and watch the videos, tell me what you think, obviously like and subscribe, share it with a friend, especially, you know, a lot of people, this podcast is very, very niche specific, right? You've got to be interested in hunting, in Western hunting and in Alaska hunting specifically. Even if you'll never make it up here, obviously you probably would enjoy listening to this podcast just to dream about it. The same way that somebody like me would listen to a podcast about hunting in Africa or read books about hunting in Africa. But you know, is very niche for a lot of people. But, you know, something, part of the reason that I want to expand with some of the videos and stuff that I'm doing, and that Dalton will be doing with me later this summer, is I wanted, obviously, hunting films, which people who aren't hunters can enjoy. But I want to do films that are hunting films, family camping films, all that kind of stuff. You know, the vlog Alaska life thing when it seems to fit, or when something I think is interesting enough that somebody might want to watch it. And so that's what I'm shooting for, trying to expand the audience a little bit to reach out there. Obviously, hunting is a passion. We're doing this in a way, this podcast, we've done it on purpose, you know, in a way where we don't have sponsors, because we want you to be able to trust what we say. I got my bear baits out a couple weeks ago, or it would be last weekend as of this, got them out. Getting the bear baits out in and of itself went fine. The day and some of the things that happened that day in the process of doing that was a struggle. I decided I was going to film putting the bear baits out and do a YouTube video about that. In the process of that, I pulled into my parking spot, and the hub on my trailer, which I had replaced a few years ago, but it had fallen apart completely. Bearings disintegrated, and when I pulled into the parking lot, it fell off. And I looked in the rearview mirror, and I thought my trailer was in the ditch because it was at such a steep angle. Turns out the hub had just fallen off, and the tire fell off. And so I unloaded the four-wheeler and jacked it back up and got the tire on there so it would at least roll, and I backed it all in the ditch. And I ended up having to drive all the way back to town and borrow my dad's bigger trailer that I could put my wheeler and my small trailer on. But I got the bait out at that spot, got back on my way back to town, put the other bait out that I had to put out, and forgot my SD cards, of course, because I had taken all my stuff out of my four-wheeler and off of my four-wheeler in the process of leaving it to go get the other trailer. That way, if somebody showed up, they didn't have anything to steal. So that turned into a whole thing, but I started filming that day with putting the bear baits out, and I didn't stop. And so hopefully that turns into an interesting video. That should be the next one that drops. It might drop around the time that this podcast episode drops, if I have time to edit it. But the chances of that happening are pretty small. But if I can, I will. If not, it'll probably drop somewhere midweek of this episode, and then you can look for a week from now. That episode of the family camping trip. I'm hoping to drop episodes of our YouTube videos every other week. So on one week, you know, on a Monday, you get a podcast, and then the Sunday after that, you get a YouTube video, an outdoor YouTube video, and then the next week you get a podcast, and then an outdoor YouTube video. And it's not, I realize that not everybody who wants to watch the podcast is going to watch YouTube videos, and not everybody that watches YouTube videos wants to watch the podcast, but that way we've got something out for everybody every week, and we'll see if I can maintain that that cadence. Anyhow, I hope you enjoyed the show, and have a good week. Tread lightly, but don't tread well.